Hello, everybody. It's time for the Rowan University Football Coaches Show. I'm Derek Jones, joined by the head coach of Rowan University Football, Jay Accorsi, as we catch up in one of the more hectic times in Rowan University athletics history, as for the first time in decades, there will be no football season. Rowan University athletics fall programs go by the wayside, and we go into training mode as a result, obviously, of COVID-19. And here to talk about all that and so much more with us, the head coach of the Profs, Jay Accorsi. Coach, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Derek. It's just good to be back on campus and be doing things, that's all.
We've got a lot to cover, obviously, with what you're up to right now, what the team's up to right now. But you're, first of all, how are you doing? Because you wear a lot of hats besides a head coach. you're obviously a parent. What's this been like for you over the last 6 months?
It's been challenging. You know, obviously, we as a family, my wife and I and kids have been very fortunate. My oldest daughter that graduated from college has maintained her job, which is a great thing. My middle one that's at James Madison University had to come home. And then our youngest, who was finishing up a very interesting senior year in high school, was home. Both of them were able to work their part-time jobs fairly quickly, which was nice. So we were very fortunate that we were all healthy. Our three kids were safe. All three were working and kind of doing the school thing. So, you know, again, compared to probably a lot of people, better than most, but certainly in some challenging times. The dining room became kind of my office, our bedroom, my wife became her office, and then my son kind of went to one room, my daughter in another room, and then we were all kind of doing the whole online remote thing like most families. But, we're fortunate and better off than most, really.
And as a part of that, you know, you're trying to balance getting them kind of acclimated to being home in a different way entirely. Meanwhile, you're trying to deal with being the head coach of a football team where you no longer have in-person contact with your team and your coaches. What's that been like? And tell us about how quickly you acclimated to Zoom and WebEx.
it happened pretty quick. And again, an old guy like me with technology is not the best. You know, the nice part is I had two young experts at the house to be able to help me. It was really kind of interesting. You know, happened right around spring break, right, when this all occurred. And I remember the last team meeting in the locker room, you know, telling the guys, listen, we're not sure what's going to happen when we come back. Be safe where you go on spring break. At that time, we didn't know it was going to be extended the week, which it was. So that was kind of our last team meeting with the players in the locker room, kind of telling them, be safe, be careful where you go. We don't know what's going to happen, but hopefully we'll see you back fairly soon. And now you're fast forward to September and you really haven't seen the players for the most part. So it's been challenging. I think the sport of football is such a team building team concept that it makes it really hard. You know, you don't get a chance to see your coaching staff. You don't get a chance to see your full-time staff. You don't get a chance to see your players. So you're just trying to keep it all together, you know, like the Dutch boy with his finger in the dike trying to hold the dam from bursting. You know, it's been challenging, and there's been a lot of things that have popped up from it, but certainly different and interesting. But again, you just try to be there for people and do the best you can.
What's been the toughest part of this for you as a coach?
Just not seeing people, you know, and now when you see people, it's different. You know, I remember my grandfather, you know, teaching me at a young age about shaking a firm handshake, mm-hmm. which now you can't do, you know. And then over the years, the firm handshake came into the embrace hug when you see people, and now you can't do that. So that whole part for me has been difficult. And again, when you're involved in a sport that has so much contact, now you're telling them not to have contact. It's a lot. You know, you're telling your players to stay away from one another. You're telling them not to congregate together. You're doing everything against what you grew up learning to do to keep that team chemistry, team unity, cohesiveness, helping one another. And now all of a sudden you're on an island separated. And it's difficult. It's really hard. And as a result, I think you see in society a lot of people struggling because they don't know how to handle the non-socialization, right? That's really what it is.
Yeah, and that's one of the tricks. You know, we've seen the professional angle, how pro sports is handling it. College sports is such a unique challenge from the COVID angle because, you know, you talk about temperature checks, but through all of that, they're still students. So they're having contact with other students. That has to be a lot to manage.
Yeah, you know, and it's got to be hard, you know. And again, you just think of these instances. So, you know, normally by this time of the year, we've gotten to know our incoming players really well because they were stuck with us for 2 or 3 weeks during training camp. We got a chance to really get to know them. We got a chance to spend a lot of time with them. And now maybe you've seen them once or twice individually and in one in-person team meeting and on Zoom meetings. So you're like, all of a sudden, these 30-something young men that are under your guidance, you don't have that contact. And, you know, for somebody like me and us as coaches that really embrace that contact, and that's why we do it, it makes it really, really difficult. And, you know, I think it's going to obviously make it hard on the student athlete, especially in college.
No question about it. It's such a challenging time to be in college to begin with because college is not easy at all. You know,
yeah, I found a parking space coming here today. Usually I have to walk over from the team house. Today I didn't have to. I'm like, wow, there's a parking space.
That's one of the more unique changes to all this. There's parking here on campus now. And one of the things I also wanted to talk to you about was graduation because – due to the strange nature of how all this spun out, there wasn't, it appeared at a time, going to be a commencement ceremony. There was some talk of it moving to August, and then it happens in July here on campus. But kind of because the way things happen, you're not able to actually be there and experience the way you normally would with a player. Did you have any chance to talk to your outgoing seniors?
You know, just maybe a couple here and there, but not a lot. You know, and again, as a parent, I was living it because my son was a senior in high school. So his graduation, you know, ceremony was just the students and some faculty members and staff at the high school he's at, the local high school. So we were living it with my son. So I kind of knew from what our players were going through as well. But yeah, that's usually when you get a chance to say kind of goodbye to some student athletes and, you know, wish them the best and go off. And, you know, now you don't get to do that in May. And, you know, usually you have more contact again, that contact, and now you don't. So it makes it very difficult. And now you're spending more time on your phone. Like, I'm always on my phone now because that's the mode of communication now. Yeah. Not that it wasn't before, but at least you could do in person before, now not. So it's just so hard. So all of a sudden now your amount of information you're dealing with people becomes overloaded and you can't get a hold of people because you're just always on the phone, you know, and that makes it very difficult. But yeah, it was hard, you know, not seeing, you know, seniors kind of go off and graduate, and I'm sure it was hard on them as well.
As we make our way through the summer here, it's now time to start figuring out what's going to happen with the football season. So the College of New Jersey opts out of playing first. Let me ask you this before we get into the actual cancellation part of it. Was there a time at any point where you thought that there was a chance that there was going to be a season of some kind?
Yeah, I think we all wanted that. And I think we're all hoping for that, you know, and I think it went week by week. But then as the NCAA started to put in, and rightfully so, things to protect student-athletes and universities and coaches and everybody else, more so than most, it didn't look all that great. Now, they're playing high school football, right, in New Jersey, which we'll see how that goes. They're playing professional football. You know, they're not playing at Rutgers, but now the talk is the Big Ten may play. You know, they're not playing at Villanova and Delaware. So it's an interesting time. You know, some of my coaches have been to some high school practices, you know, and you're like, well, wait a minute, if they can practice. But college is just so different because there's so many people from different areas. And again, as we know with COVID-19, once you start to mix that all together, that's a recipe for disaster and a chance to get it. I think we deep down inside were hoping we could play. Deep down inside all the way to the end, we were kind of really planning for it. But then when the NCAA put in the mandatory testing and some other things, it just clearly became evident that financially for most institutions in college, it was just going to be almost virtually impossible to play.
So the season and fall sports, for that matter, get shut down throughout the NJAC. At the end of the release that Commissioner Terry Small put out, he mentioned that there was going to be maybe exploratory looks at playing in the spring. What can you tell us about that? Do you think there's a chance there could be a spring season?
Yeah, I think there is. Obviously, we're preparing for it. There's some different models and concepts in the conference that we're discussing. Maybe a north and a south, two divisions. Maybe you play three or four games in a conference championship. So there's some different models we've explored as a conference to try to play in the spring. It's all depending upon what kind of happens and how you get to the spring. I mean, just the other day, Delaware and Maryland were added to the no travel list of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So, maybe we wanted to play Salisbury and Wesley, but in the state, you're not allowed to go to those states without quarantining. So it just brings up a lot of things that you've tried to manage. Our hope is to play in the spring. The NCAA did kind of alleviate some eligibility concerns. So basically this year is kind of a wash. Our hope is we're getting a lot of players back that this would be their last year. We're really trying to extend and make it work out for them that they'll be able to play next year and get a full experience. But there's probably going to be some that just can't afford to or can't do it. What do you want to try to do? And I think, the presidents, athletic directors, administrators, and coaches want to try to provide something for them to get some experience. But now you're getting into safety, well-being. Have you seen the players? Have you not? There's a lot of issues. But, yeah, we are planning for a spring season, and that's what I would hope we're eventually maybe going to get to.
Do you think non-conference is out of the mix?
Yeah, I think, we're just planning conference for now. I mean, we have eight conference schools, so, if you look at a north and a south, it'd be us and the affiliate members down south, and then the North Jersey schools with TC&J. So we're just exploring right now conference models to do that. Again, the NCAA did put in some leeway with eligibility. So in football, 50% is five games of a normal season. So if you play five games or less, they're still going to maintain their year of eligibility. They extended the semester rule for another year. So now you're able to get another year. So we are planning just a conference schedule to start and then kind of branch off. One of the proposals that we have is, maybe a smaller conference schedule and then the ability to maybe play some schools nearby. Mm-hmm. I did have conversations with the Widener coach as this was all going through, the Hobart coach as this was all going through, again, trying to keep the non-conference schools kind of in the picture to do that. But again, it's conference to start, and then we try to figure out what to do to figure out what may fit in non-conference wise.
When you take a look now at kind of how you manage your time here over the next over the next few months, I mean, what do you tell your guys as far as is getting ready? And the trick is, we're talking about it a little bit, but beforehand, we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stop and starting in situations sports related. How do you manage that?
I think coaches by nature like to control as much as they can. Yeah. If you talk to the really good ones that are honest, football coaches are probably like basketball coaches, want to control everything, probably because of the numbers. The thing you learn from experience like this is you have very little control. We had a Zoom meeting this morning with our players trying to get them information about local gyms to go work out at, because again, we really haven't seen our players do anything since last March when we had them in the weight room, maybe January, February, a little bit of March before spring break. That was a long time ago. The weight room's still not open here on campus like most things, and we're not practicing. So you're trying to think of other ways creatively for them to stay involved. So, trying to find local gyms, trying to, broker pretty good deals for them with the amount of numbers you're dealing with. Some you've been trying to give our strength and conditioning coordinator, Cedric Dawkins, for the department. He's been trying to give them workouts at home to do with, maybe cans of food and cement blocks. And you just got to try to be creative to give them, as much as they can possibly do on their own. It's never going to simulate what you can do with them, but just try to give them as much to do. And again, that's, what our hope is.
What do you think the future is here in terms of safety? Do you see a situation where maybe we see changes to face masks and things like that? How do you see this kind of turning out?
You know, it's interesting, and again, that's why I wanted to watch kind of the pro game last night right. And the college games that you see. I mean, it still looks like regular football.
Yep.
You know, besides maybe the gear that the coaches are wearing because we're older, we got to protect ourselves a little bit more. You know, I think you saw last night and in some college games and even high school, you know, Bobby Acosta, one of our alums, was on TV last Friday with his IMG Florida team, you know, and there you see Bobby coaching his guys with the, you know, the mask over, and but you still see the players out there running around. So it's certainly doable. And again, we've seen it at the high school level in the local area and youth football. So it's obviously doable to do the sport. It's just how do you manage all those other things around it? You know, on our coaching staff, you know, I'm an older guy, but there's a couple that are older than I am. So your concern is now them, their family members, your players' family members, your players' grandparents. Like, there's so much more to factor in than just the people themselves. And so my hope is from seeing football being played regularly that we can eventually get to that point, which I think, you know, most of us want to do.
How odd has it been for you on on a Saturday to not have football in your life?
Yeah, I just asked my wife last Saturday, you know, so that would have been that opening weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just kind of walking around lost. It's different. It's hard. I think I was telling you off air. Besides the 3 years between when I played college and started coaching college, besides those 3 years, for most of my life since third grade, I've had football in the fall as a player and as a coach. So for me, it's just you're lost, you know, and you're just, okay, what do I do? But then the other part is I'm living kind of a normal life. You know, you're not putting in the 12, 15 hours. You're not running around. You're not worrying about 100 and something other young men. I was able to take my son to college a couple of weeks ago. I missed my daughter, my oldest. I missed my middle. My wife's done a great job raising three kids kind of without a dad around a lot because I'm always with other kids. So, again, it's a catch-22. Part of it's made me to step back and look and go, like, I was with my wife last Saturday. We're on the road. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people out on the road. She goes, you know, other people do things besides, like, football, you know. You know, there is other things that occur. You know, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people around. Like, what are they doing? They should be at a football game. You know, so, again, for me, it's just really different. It's hard. But at the same time, it's been kind of a little refreshing and different for me because I'm near the end of probably my career. So, again, I'm like, wow. So, you know, I get to sleep on a Friday night and not worry.
Yeah.
I wake up Saturday morning and that battery acid fluid isn't in my stomach eating me away as I'm trying to eat something and get dressed and get to the field. It's just different. I'm not going to say it's better. I'm not going to say it's worse, but it's for somebody like me, that's a sport football junkie. It's different, you know, and I'm sure we'll all get back to some more normal things. But again, you have to embrace it now. You know, sometimes you don't realize what you have until it's lost, you know? So it's one of those things like, wow, I really miss it. I miss seeing the players every day. I miss walking out from the office down into the stadium and just hearing the noises of coaches yelling and players running around and the grunts and groans and seeing the players. And again, if that's why you get into certain things, you miss that personal connection. So I was lost last Saturday. I'll be lost this Saturday. But you know, we'll all figure it out.
And it has to be even odder to, you know, you turn on, not that there's that much of it right now, but you turn on your TV and, you know, you see college football and you're not kind of in the soup the way you normally are.
Yeah, and that's different. Like, I didn't realize Sam Houston has canceled their schedule where my old boss, Casey Keeler, is. And somebody said something to me and I didn't know. And again, so you're able to kind of, you're in this small little bubble world, so you're not out as much. Well, I checked on the website yesterday. I'm like, wow, they did cancel. And I haven't talked to him in a while, obviously, because, you know, going back and forth and trying to plan seasons and everything around it. I haven't talked to him in a while, and it's a phone call probably I need to make now that I know that he's not busy on weekends and I'm not busy. But you don't think of it until that factor of it. But I think it's good. I think it's good that the NFL was on last night. I think it's good the college games are on. I think it's good the Big Ten's talking about playing again in the Pac-12. You know, I think that's good. People want to try to get back to normalcy, but do it in a safe manner, obviously.
Stay tuned. We'll have more of the Rowan University Football Coaches Show coming up right here on Rowan Radio. More right after this.
You listen to Rowan Radio on 89.7 WGLS-FM, but why stop there? Take us anywhere by listening to rowanradio.com. Plus, you can find us on social media. Follow us at Rowan Radio on Instagram and Twitter, and be sure to like us on Facebook. Take part in our Instagram polls and let us know what's on your mind and the songs you want to hear. Enter to win special giveaways and check out what's behind the scenes of your favorite shows, Rowan Radio, on air and on your phone. Visit rowanradio.com to find out more.
WGLS programming is made possible in part by the Rowan University Alumni Association. Proud to serve over 80,000 alumni through exciting events and programs, the Rowan Magazine, and special alumni benefits and discounts. The Alumni Association provides Rowan alumni with numerous opportunities to stay connected to their alma mater year-round. Alumni are encouraged to check out the website for a list of exciting upcoming events and programs. For more information, the website is alumni.rowan.edu. The Rowan University Alumni Association is proud to sponsor the programming on Rowan Radio.
Welcome back to the Rowan University Football Coaches Show right here on Rowan Radio. The rest of the NJAC, the other coaches, what if you could share with us the discussions maybe, that the vibe of the coaching community around the NJAC about all this?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot has occurred, and you know, you got to talk about Wesley first because, you know, we knew Wesley was in some financial situations. So there were a lot of rumor mills going around, and there's a buyout of or a help of Dell State now assisting Wesley. You just don't know what that means. And talking to Chip, who took over for the longtime coach that unfortunately passed, Mike Drass, I don't think they really know what that means. You know, the talk was the last several years, Wesley was in some really tough financial situation. Now I'm sure, given the situation, it's even worse. But right around that time frame, we all started to talk as coaches. The decision was announced that Dell State was going to go in an agreement with Wesley. Now, we don't know what that means. I don't think they know what that means. But obviously now when you lose a conference member, now all of a sudden your fear is, you know, the automatic bid. You got to pick up another game. So on top of all these things we've dealt with, that's been kind of in the back burner about Wesley and where they're going and what they're headed. And again, it sounds like they're still not sure. There's a lot to figure out. I've heard everything from, you know, they're going to be business as usual to closing and becoming Dell State to becoming the best Division III program in the country at a larger school now. So you just don't know. But that factors into our conversations as a conference because, again, you're always planning out, you know, conference schedule games in 2021, 2022, 2023. So you don't know. You know, there was talk of Salisbury looking to go Division II in the spring when COVID hit. You know, there's some movement in some areas. That's why Frostburg moved, because they went into a conference that needed schools that were close. Salisbury's kind of geographically in that location. So I'm sure there are schools looking at them because of their success to make the jump. I know that they've had discussions with conferences and have thinking about it. So now all of a sudden you lose a Wesley, you lose a Salisbury. Now all of a sudden you've lost the automatic bid. You don't have enough teams in the conference. Are you going to lose Christopher Newport? You know, then it's right back to the New Jersey schools. What do you do? You know, so there was a lot of uncertainty on top of the uncertainty of it, and we still don't know. So we'll wait and see what happens. But again, just talking to the coaches to find out what they're going through. The New Jersey coaches, I think, are going through the similar thing because we're in state, you know, and, you know, I think our governor has done a great job of forming plans and tasks and doing things. And now it's a matter, again, of what the other states are doing. Like I said, just the other day, Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware were on the no-travel area for New Jersey. Yeah. So even if we wanted to play them, we couldn't. And even if we want to play them in the spring, because we're in the Southern Division with those three schools, we wouldn't be able to go. So it just brings up all those other things that as you try to plan, it's almost impossible to plan. But you know, I think most of the coaches in the conference are going through the same thing, haven't seen their players. You know, TCNJ decided early to shut down, so he's not going to see his players at all. Kane is in a similar situation. They're not letting commuters or anybody kind of on campus. They've kind of limited it, so he's in the same situation. So we're all kind of in the same boat. Again, the hope is that we do what's best for all of us to help us. And I think that's why the TCNJ decision was, you know, difficult to take a little bit, because they are in our conference. You could have waited a couple of weeks to make the decision. Now, all of a sudden, you make a decision like that, it just reverberates to so many other people. My phone was blowing up like crazy that Friday because I didn't know. And our players are now hearing from players from TCNJ that they didn't know. So it just opens up that whole problem of communication where really a couple of weeks later you decided anyways. So, you know, did you have to do it at that point? You know, but again, people have to make decisions that's best for them in what they're doing. I get that. But as a conference, I've always been very impressed when I first came here till even now. And obviously a lot of the coaches have changed. Coach Giancola and I are kind of the old guys now, with him being older. You know, we've all gotten along. You know, come Saturday, we don't like each other. Our teams don't like each other. But every other time of the year, besides that one day, we get along. And I think that's just something that was always fostered in the conference.
I'm interested to know, you mentioned coaching. You know, one of the things we hear now about all the time is online teaching. As a coach, how difficult, and the NFL kind of did it, but nobody really saw how it worked. How do you instruct student athletes online in terms of getting them ready for a football season, if that's something that's even on the table?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously with technology, there's a lot you can do. You know, with our huddle software that we use as a conference for exchange, and that most programs, smaller Division twos and threes use, all the high schools use it for their film to be able to exchange for recruiting and films like that. So keeping that system intact, which obviously we know at the university trying to keep, you know, you're not playing football, so why do you need that? We've done, I think, a great job, or a better job than maybe most, of engaging our student athletes and football players with online education. I know, you know, all our coaches have had meetings, Zoom meetings, and shown film and been able to use our huddle system, which is really important for our new incoming players that we haven't really seen and had contact with. That's critical. But really, it's going to come down to the, you know, the nuts and bolts. And Tom Dotty always tells us, and me in particular, the fundamentals of football. Like, I'm watching the game last night, and they were, like, missing tackles. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, it's like I watched the Phillies game a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, wow, maybe it's a good thing people aren't paying to go to that game. You know, just because of the basic fundamentals, right?
Yeah,
you can only simulate so much. There comes a point in time where you have to instruct, or you have to do it, you know? And again, I think if you certainly see it at the pro level, they're doing everything virtual.
Yeah.
So even if they're struggling with fundamentals, you know you are as well. You know, and that's been the hard part. But you try to engage them and do as much as you can. It's just at some point you just have to do it, you know, and that's the part you just really can't recreate. It's like classroom. You know, you can do it online and Zoom and do all this and that, but are you getting that connection of what they need to learn? Not as well as in-person instruction and person-to-person contact. You're trying, but you just got to know something's going to get lost. You know, all our new players have a familiarity with our system. They're not going to know the nuances of it. They're not going to know the specific steps and specific skills that you break it down, just like a student. You know, so again, it's, yeah, you try to simulate that, but you know, at some point, you know, that contact is going to hurt you in certain areas. So I think when you watch these games on TV, you're going to see basic fundamentals suffer a little bit. Not that, you know, a pro guy does not a block or tackle. I mean, they do. But when you get away from that personal connection, those are the things that will start to break down.
One of the things we've seen a lot of from students throughout the country on college campuses being unsure about their current circumstances. How much do you think that is going to be prevalent in athletics now, where you have students kind of unsure if they want to play because of safety measures, because of COVID? Do you think there are going to be players on the college level that just aren't confident enough in what's going on? Or you think, in other words, you think you'll see more opting out as we move forward for upcoming seasons?
Yeah, and I think it goes to a bigger picture than that, Derek. I think it's about, you know, the affordability and being able to go to college, you know, let alone play a sport, but now go to a college. And we've had some, you know, choose to go to local community colleges. We've had a couple drop out and not decide to do anything. You know, again, when you are in a different financial situation and strapped, it becomes a bigger picture than just not wanting to play. You know, I had a conversation with Calvin Harper, one of our seniors. He would be a senior this year. He's trying to convince mom and dad to let him come back next year. So he's going part-time this semester, you know, to save some money, full-time next semester, and then hopefully finish up. And so now you're having bigger conversations, not just about playing, but attending school, the affordability of school, you know, being able to come to school. We've had several discussions with our players about, you know, what do they feel comfortable? Do they feel comfortable coming to campus or not? Nobody can make that decision for them. You just have to give them that information. So I think it's a bigger picture. If somebody wants to play, you know, they love football. We try to recruit guys that love football. It's now going to be a tougher situation that, yeah, I love football, but can my family afford to send me to school? Can I afford to be in school? Can I afford to go away? You know, that's such a bigger picture question mark that you know, I can't answer that for them. We can do is try to give them the information to help them. My hope is, though, that those that love football are going to miss it so much that they're just dying to get back out there. You know, like Calvin Harper, you know. Calvin was not a highly recruited young man, was at another school, wasn't playing, wanted to play, convinced dad to come, came. You know, okay player, and developed into a really good player for us. You know, and you're like, all right, well, what's Calvin going to do? You know, this year's a wash. You know, and after you talk to him, he's like, coach, I want to play. But I want a real season. I don't want like a 3 or 4 game season.
Yeah.
You know, so talking to almost most of our players, they really miss football. And I think that's the encouraging part is once we get back out there, again, you don't appreciate something till it's gone. Now all of a sudden it's gone, you really appreciate it. So again, I think there's bigger questions people are faced with than, you know, whether they want to play football or not, or whether they're safe or not at this point in time. Those are kind of moot points. It's more, can I afford to go to school? Can my parents afford this? You know, we had several discussions. Listen, if you can't afford it, don't just not go to school. Go to local community college. So at least you're doing something. And then you're leaving yourself the ability to transfer in so you haven't wasted a semester. So again, there have been bigger question marks, you know, about all that. And then them asking about football. You know, coach, do you think we're playing? I said, I hope we're playing. We're trying to play. We're trying to do everything to be safe. You know, but then you talk about safe, that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. So I think it's a bigger question than just, do you want to play or do you feel safe? Do you have the ability to play or can your family afford it? And that's the part that we see that, you know, people are struggling, you know, and financially that's a huge decision now to make in the process that always was, but even more so now.
No question. It is certainly an interesting time to be not only an athlete, but definitely first and foremost a student here on campus or any college campus around the country.
Yeah, you know, and that's the bigger picture. And again, so we always talk to our players again, and, you know, I know everybody hears it, and I have to put my 2 cents in. You know, you got to be safe. You got to socially distance. You have to wear the mask. Again, my mom passed, you know, during COVID-19. She was battling dementia, some things which we knew, but this whole isolation thing for people in nursing homes and in places is just so devastating. And unless you're involved in that, you don't see it, you know. And again, we're talking to people, and I try to talk to people all the time. It's not just you, you know. It's not just your direct family member, but it's grandparents and other members that you need to be aware of and try to protect, you know. And again, I think when we talk about the bigger picture, that's, you know, really the more important thing, you know, for us and for our guys and talk about those things. So wear a mask and socially distance. It's not that hard.
No.
You just got to try to do it, you know. And is it inconvenient? Yeah, it is. But sometimes in life, there are inconvenient things you have to do, you know. And it's funny. You see people probably take it more serious who have grandparents or people that they know that are dealing with illnesses and things, and you have to respect that. I think we're trending in the right way, but I think we'll all be excited when football's back and we're able to do it here at Rowan, just sports in general. I think that's something that we're all looking forward to and probably we'll all cherish a lot more than we did before.
Oh, no doubt about it. It'll be great to have those things back here, hopefully on campus very soon. Thank you very much, Coach, for hopping in. And we're still going to check in on you throughout the fall here.
Yeah, I told you, my time is a little bit more free now. If there's things to help fill space and talk about, I'm all for it. Again, I have to put in my 2 cents. Just wear a mask. Socially distance, respect other people. I've heard some people talk about this when it first started about germ circles, and I mentioned that to people. My wife and I and our kids have kind of a small germ circle, and if you keep a small germ circle, you can intermingle with other smaller germ circles and people. So there's some families and friends of ours we were able to see through the course of the summer that were doing similar things like us. So again, that's all what we're trying to do, but I can't emphasize enough, wear a mask and, respect other people and what they're doing. And eventually I think we'll all get back to doing what we're used to doing at some point when it's all safe, but social distance, wear a mask, and just treat and try to help people as best you can. I think if you do that, we'll all be in a good place when it's all said and done.
Outstandingly said, Coach, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Derek. And again, like I said, I'm kind of free now in the fall, so I've never really spun wax or records or vinyl, they say, and all that stuff. But if you need somebody for a time slot or something, I'm sure I could fill in and do something for you. So just let me know.
I have a feeling we're going to find something for you to do.
Not a problem. I'm all about helping out.
This has been the Rowan University Football Coaches Show right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.